Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, Tiger fans. You know what's more frustrating than a bases-loaded double play? When your small business is striking out with technology problems. That's why our good buddy, Brett Danis, created Summit Tech Partners. Brett's a Michigan guy through and through and a lifelong Tigers fan. And Summit provides the perfect relief pitcher for your IT needs. While other services throw you generic fastballs, Brett's team will scout your business and develop a customized game plan specifically for your small business.
While you're keeping track of ERA and RBIs, Brett's team will handle your IT infrastructure. His team will monitor your systems like a hawk-eyed umpire, catching problems before they become major league disasters. Summit has a full roster of IT services that'll keep your business safe and running smoothly, so you can spend less time troubleshooting and more time watching torque bombs.
Visit homerun.support today for your free consultation.
Summit Tech Partners, where your small business is always the MVP.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
We dropped 2 straight to start the series off to the Rays.
You can't spot him 4 runs at the bottom of the first and hope to get out of Steinbrenner Field.
Meadows just needs to get up over the Mendoza line by July 4th.
So when I talk about 6 big leaguers in the lineup.
Litterbox Nation, we ran into a little bit of a speed bump this past week in Tampa Bay. George Steinbrenner Field. Some struggles. We dropped 2 straight to start the series off to the Rays. That would have made it 3 straight because we dropped the tail end of the Pittsburgh series, tied with the longest losing streak that they've had this season with 3 straight. I am going to say pitching is going to become the focus. Our offense is I can live with our offense. Pitching is going to become the focus after watching this past week. We now have one of the worst bullpens in the game. We are ranked 25th going into today's game. And our starting rotation, fit with injuries, of course, hopefully looking to get some guys coming back. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But we're seeing some stuff with Flaherty we don't like. And honestly, this bullpen start, whatever we want to call these starts using our bullpen for an inning, I don't need the leadoff guy out there for an inning or 2/3 of an inning or however they last. I think we've seen that fail too many times lately. Bill, give me your thoughts. What do you take away from this?
So I think 2 things can be true at once. The bullpen starting got us to the playoffs last year and got us past Houston.
But late in the season, right?
When Skubal wasn't starting. That being said, it is not working and hasn't worked for the last 2.5-3 weeks. You are spot on with it. 100%. I agree with you. And all I can say on this is, if there are healthy arms somewhere, and they're not being utilized, then shame on the Tigers. But I have to believe that Scott Harris and AJ Hinch know absolutely what they're doing. And as much as we compliment the Tigers and say how envious they are to have somebody like Montero as a sixth starter in Toledo to be able to come up and do these spot starts, your point is, and you've been saying this since the third week of April, outside of Scooble, we have a bunch of fours and maybe fives. And that is the problem. So we have depth, but Flaherty's not a two. Reese Olson is still rehabbing and coming back. Casey Mize has been the closest thing we've had to a two since Jackson Jobe went down. And Jackson Jobe's a rookie. So I agree with you. And I guess if I can give you one other thought, the first two games were bad, bad, bad. You cannot spot a good team, which the Rays are a very, very good team.
They're a hot team right now.
You can't spot them four runs at the bottom of the first and hope to get out of Steinbrenner Field, you know, with a W. Our hitting's, it's good. It's vastly improved from last year, but it's not good enough to overcome a four-run deficit at the end of the first. Those are my underlying, overlying thoughts. Please continue.
I think what you're trying to say is the bullpen starts work in small doses. A once in a while, get through a month type thing where you want to have one on occasion. Every series to roll out a bullpen start is problematic in my book. On top of that, at the end of the season, when you're trying to save guys, when there's an ulterior motive to these bullpen starts, maybe you're trying to save starters, you're trying to keep them fresh and rested and healthy for the postseason, end of the season, do some bullpen games. But this weird start a guy for an inning, two-thirds of an inning, they don't even make it an inning at this point, and then bring the starter in after the fact, it just seems to be backfiring way too often. So we've set our piece on it. I don't like it. We saw it fall apart again in Tampa this past week. A couple other things, notable things. Our pitching, the defense, our pitchers do not play great defense. I see errors. I see some unforced errors. I saw Tommy Canley try to field a little squib swinging bunt grounder today that he couldn't get to it, and Torque got to it, but he wasn't on the bag. It was just kind of one of those tweener deals. I didn't like that. I mean, he's got to just go to the bag and let Torque scoop that up and try to get the out. Go ahead. What's up?
Tommy Canley can't blame that awkward.
It's awkward.
No, but he can't blame it on excess body hair.
No, he can't. He can't. No, you're right. And if he is, he needs to nair. We all know the deal. But it's, I saw that play and I was like, oh Lord, that looked just clumsy. And we seem to see that in these games. So I'm looking for a little more out of the pen. I really would just rather Sawyer, Gibson, Long take the ball from batter one. I would rather Keiter Montero take the ball from batter one. See what these guys got as actual traditional starters, because you're grooming them for that anyways at this point, or so it seems. Herter, we can talk a little more about Herter later in the pod, but he has not looked very good at all this week. Something's going on with Mr. Herter. He has had a couple pretty awful outings, including the bullpen start that he did the other day in game two, but also wrapping up today's game, gave up a couple of unnecessary runs likewise. So that's 2 days in a row. We've seen some stuff from Herter, and why you're pitching him 2 days in a row, I don't know. He's a bullpen guy. These guys shouldn't be coming out 2-3 days in a row. At any rate, we're off of that. Game one was a disaster. Friday's game, Tampa Bay won 14-8. And to be quite honest, Jack Flaherty was the bad Jack Flaherty. Not really locating the fastball. Very hittable. They smoked him. A lot of hard hit balls. I think two of the guys I brought up for us to keep an eye on in this series did a share of damage in Junior Caminero and Yandy Diaz. Yandy had his game in game one. Caminero did not play, but Yandy had his game in game one. He had 5 hard hit balls. These are, you know, StatCast level hard hit balls. Anything over 95, 96 mile an hour exit velocity off of Flaherty. We got to see the usual cadre of bullpen faces in game one. Gage, Lee, Carlos Hernandez came back out. Not so good in game one as he was in his previous outing. I gave up a couple of runs, gave up some hits, lasted an inning, Hanifee came out, gave up his token runs. There's another bullpen guy that I'm worried about right now. You know, is Chase Lee up next to disappoint? I don't know. Matt Gage was the only pitcher in this whole game that didn't give up any runs, but Flaherty spotted him 8 right off the bat inside of 2.1 innings. When you spot a good team that's this hot, that many runs right off the bat, it really takes the wind out of the sails. I think it changes strategy. It changes everything. Any thoughts on game one, Bill?
Yeah, let me just kind of recap. I would say outside of maybe the Sunday game against the Reds, where the Tigers just booted balls and looked sloppy, they didn't look as sloppy this game. A lot of the malaise in this game has to be going back to Jack Flaherty and the fact that he did allow 4 runs in the first, and then before he was pulled, 4 runs in the third, all of them earned. Let me just go through, you touched on it, but I mean, this is an awful for bullpen line and starting pitching line. So Flaherty got the loss. He's now 5-8. He pitched 2-1, you know, third, like you talked about, 6 hits, 8 runs, all earned, walked 3, struck out 3 and allowed a dinger. His ERA is sitting at 4.83. His worst outing in over a month. And great concerns on this. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but he is now throwing off of flat surfaces. That can mean one of two things. One, they're going to try to they being the Tigers pitching staff, overhaul his pitching mechanics, meaning he's tipping pitches. He's flawed in some way. I hope that's the case. And I know you do as well, because the worst case scenario would be that there's an injury there.
Pitchers throw off a flat surface between games all the time, just to kind of stay loose. That wasn't the biggest piece. The biggest piece is that he had half the coaching staff out there monitoring everything he was doing. Yes. They were basically looking over everything from his stride to the way he's releasing the ball. So I think they're trying to figure out what's going on with him.
Yeah.
And get him right. Hopefully it's not some injury thing.
Same. That being said, Gage was good. 1.2 innings pitched, only allowed 2 hits, walked 1, struck out 1. His ERA is still 0, but he just came up. Chase Lee was his usual self, not as dominant as he has been. 1 inning pitched, 1 hit, 1 run. That run was earned. He K'd 1, allowed a dinger, which he really hasn't gotten tagged that often this year. So that was a little unsettling. His ERA is at 2.31. And then our guy Hernandez, who we sang and shouted the praises from the rooftops last pod, pitched an inning and was awful. 3 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned, walked 1, 2 Ks. His ERA is now 5.46. He was all over the place. He had no command whatsoever. And that's the general. The Tigers looked A, exhausted from the Pirates series, B, like the heat.
Yeah.
Like you and I said in the last pod that it would bother them. It looked like it really bothered them. Flaherty was like sweating after 3 pitches. I mean, profusely sweating.
Yeah.
And then Hanifee wasn't any better. 2 innings. I mean, they asked a lot of him. 4 hits, 3 runs. And quite frankly, if he and Hernandez had pitched better, the Tigers did claw their way back in. So that's kind of the pitching in a nutshell. Let's, I guess, finish with Hanifee. 4 hits, 3 runs. 2 of them earned. He walked 1. ERA is at 3.79. As far as hitting goes, I still think the Tigers are going about this with 6 real big league players every game. And what I mean by real big league players is you compare them to, and we have to compare them now to the Phillies, the Mets, yeah, the Dodgers, the, yeah, Cubs,
well, you gotta compare
and the Yankees.
Them to who they're going to play when the postseason comes around.
I mean, and that's who they're going to play. Colt Keith is not a real reliable big league player at this point. Gleyber Torres is. Kerry Carpenter is not a real reliable big league player at this point. Riley Green is. Spencer Torkelson is. Dylan Dingler is. Parker Meadows is not at this point. Javi Baez is. And Trey Sweeney is, I've lamented, yeah, all season, is not.
Yeah.
So you go through this lineup, you do bring Jermai Jones in to pinch hit, but he pinch hits for Torres, who's not part of the problem. He's part of the solution.
Yeah, and he K'd. What's a bizarre choice there. Do you think, what about the lineups? I feel like Hinch is playing with lineups a lot. We see guys shuffling all over. Aside from Torres, we see guys shuffling all over this lineup.
And Torres should bat leadoff every game because he's the only guy in this lineup that can truly walk every time he's up or make a pitcher work. And I always thought the whole point of a leadoff hitter,
see as many pitches as you can, pretty much. That's on base.
Your primary concern or primary objective is to see as many pitches so that everybody following you, yep, getting on base is awesome. But again, if you can see nine pitches,
you want good bats out of them. And then Cole Keith, by the way, one of his strengths is he does put together good at bats. He does see a lot of pitches.
I'm not a fan.
Okay. Well, he does. His approach is actually part of the benefit. I just don't think he's a leadoff hitter. I think there's other guys on the team I'd rather see in that slot, like you. I do wonder, like, Riley usually is third or fourth. Torque has been kind of settling in around that five spot. The six through nine is whoever we decide to play. I mean, one day Baez could be ninth, one day he's eighth, one day he's seventh.
So lineup, the only thing I would have done differently with this lineup is Wenzel Perez has been playing great. I get that the pitching matchups didn't favor his splits. He's been very serviceable either playing right field or playing center field. I would have had Wenzel Perez in Friday's game.
Yeah, well, the only thing I'll say here is Ryan Green went 3-for-3 with 2 home runs, 4 RBIs in this game. He's not something to gloss over. He has been steady, at very least, with his production. He's had his moments. He's had his dips. But lately, he's really steadied the ship, and he's put some solid performances in. Cole Keith had a home run, 2 RBIs. He keeps kind of ticking up the list here with his batting average. And again, Kerry Carpenter, 0-for-5, 2 Ks. Something's wrong there. He needs to sit. We've talked about this. I know Parker got a hit in this game, which is good to see Meadows getting hits. I'd like to see him start to contribute a little more as the...
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Month winds down. But yeah, that's. I wanted to make sure we talked about Riley, because Riley gets his guff for not being the superstar everybody expects him to be. Guys, doing great. I mean, he's doing everything we could expect him to possibly do right now, especially at the dish. So I'm not going to start getting on him.
I have not gotten on him once this season, I don't believe. The only thing I've said is he's not as consistent as we'd like him to be. That being said, he is the modern day superstar. You know, he has a 284 average, 861 OPS. This is on Saturday. Fields a very, very serviceable left field. He is part of the solution.
CXG believes in the visual art of storytelling, whether it's through film, video, live events, or podcasts just like this one. Our mission is to connect audiences through powerful, authentic stories that leave a lasting impact. CXG is proud to support the Litter Box because great stories deserve to be seen and heard. Learn more at cxgfilms.com.
And if we can, you know, fast forward to Saturday's game, again, the same thing. The Tigers allowed 4 runs in the first inning and 1 run in the second. And essentially that was the game. They ended up losing 8-3.
Yeah, you're spotting a good team 4 runs in the first inning. I mean, again, you can't start games off that way.
And this was Brant Herder, who pitched. He didn't make it out of the inning. 2 hits, 4 runs. 2 walked, 2 K'd. I'm 100% with you, Chet. I do not get what Hinch is doing on this, unless he's trying to send a message to Scott Harris and say, maybe. help me, guys. I do not have the horses
relatively possible
to do this. And then SGL comes in and he pitches 6-1. So the whole point of Herder pitching was defeated with him coming in the first.
Yeah.
And then he pitched pretty well. 6 hits. He did allow 4 runs. They're all earned. Struck out 3. 3 of them were home runs. But this is what we're expecting from a guy that technically should be in Toledo.
In Herder's defense, none of those runs were earned.
No.
But 4 runs still scored. Ball was put in play way too often. He did strike 2 guys out, I guess, but he also gave up the 2 walks. So I just think that why not, like you're saying, why not bring Sawyer Gibson along in from the start? He's coming in for the 3rd out of the first as it is. And I just wonder if it messes with things. I know they're pros. They get over it, whatever.
Is he, though? I mean, he just got called up. I mean,
they hit him hard, too. Sawyer Gibson Long gave up some. There wasn't a single player in the lineup in game 2 for the Rays that didn't hit him hard.
No,
they all had hard balls on
him. Statcast went nuts with that. The fact that every Ray hit him hard. And then we had a Smith sighting, and he was great.
Yeah, cleaned up his inning.
Yeah, but the problem was the game was out of hand at that point because the Tigers only scored one run through four and then scored the other two in the eighth. And at that point, it was all over. Going down the batting list, Keith was 1-for-4 with a walk. Great. He had a good outing. He only struck out once, so I'm going to give him kudos on that. Torres was his usual self. He batted three times and he walked once, struck out once. He's part of the solution. He's not part of the problem. Carpenter did go 1-for-5, but he struck out once.
Oh, Benetti was glowing when he did it too.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's got to feel good. I said, I'm like, yeah, okay. He's 1-for-25 now.
Yeah. Green didn't have his best game, but he still walked once when,
the K's are going to be there.
Yeah, he struck out twice. Wenzel Perez was awesome again. One run, one hit, 1-for-4. K'd twice. Nobody was.
That's okay.
Tigers just weren't seeing the ball today.
It's Wenzel. My expectations for Wenzel are so far below Carpenter and Parker right now that I'm just like, do what you can for us, Wenzel, and give us some games. And he is.
But dang, 284,
950 OPS.
Should our expectations be lower for him? I know they were coming into the season, but at what point do we have enough sample size?
Well, he was so last year he went on a little bit of a heater too, which kind of kept him up with the team. And so I think he might just be streaky. But at the end of the day, I don't know if he's a full-time, everyday, regular player.
No, I'm not saying that. But I don't
then
know.
Again, when we're rolling three or four guys out like that in every lineup, maybe that's the deal right now. I mean,
I think you sense my question.
Yeah.
The organization thinks that Parker Meadows and Kerry Carpenter are everyday players.
Yeah.
This guy, Billy P from the D, isn't so sure that they are. The other thing, Baez went 0-for-3, but he scored twice. Z-Mac is back to bad Z-Mac. Cade wants 0-for-3. Jamai Jones came in a little bit too late. Didn't really help. He was 1-for-1.
And a double. And
Nice hit. Meadows got another hit, but he's still at 167 with a 558 OPS.
But climbing. He had a really slow start. He's climbing. Yeah. I'm okay with Meadows because he had another good one in game.
I'm giving him until the 4th of July before I... But Kerry Carpenter, I'm out on at this point. Something's wrong. I agree with you. He probably needs a break.
He needs to rest. Meadows just needs to get up over the Mendoza line by July 4th for me right now.
So can
keep going from there.
I get on a soapbox?
Yes, please. I know who it's going to be about.
Why in the world would you start Rodgers behind the plate and waste Dingler as a pinch hitter once in the game? So if anybody can explain to me sabermetrics, whatever it is behind that, isn't the whole point of not having Dingler behind the plate to give him a true off day?
Yeah.
And I get that these guys are professional athletes. They're supposed to be ready at a whim, but it makes no sense to me to do that in any way, shape, or form. And then part two of that, that's 1A on my soapbox. Part B is there is not a universe that anybody lives in where Trey Sweeney should be a pinch hitter ever. So again, I think Hinch is trying to send a message to management. Oh, really? Get me reinforcements.
This is what I have to work with for crying out loud.
You know,
it's tough.
I think it's Picasso not having his proper tools.
I've always wondered, do managers sit there and say like, yeah, let me show them what I'm going to throw out there now, because this is what I got at my disposal. And like, you know, if that's them silently protesting what they've been given to work with at this point. But and a lot of it comes down to guys playing, you know, like some guys just don't end up playing as well as you think. So you got to send a little message like, hey, this guy's struggling. I need somebody else for this role. At any rate, game two, every bit as much, if not more so, a gong show as game one was. 8-3 loss. I mean, we just gave you the tail of the tape on it. You want to go to game three and talk about something a little happier?
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Let's bring it back up. Let's bring it up.
Today was a big positive day on the broadcast, too. They were trying to really be positive energy.
I'm climbing down from my soapbox, 9-3 win for the Tigers. And Casey Mize did exactly what we needed somebody in a starting pitcher role to do.
He's a starter.
And he started.
He's a starter.
That started. So 5 innings, six hits, one run. It was earned, but he struck out 5. The strikeouts weren't there the previous two days.
No, he's added a few there.
He
against a lineup that doesn't strike out as much.
No, they don't. And they walk a ton. And he allowed a dinger.
Over to Junior Caminero, second one of the series. And
of course, he's awesome.
And Casey was removed from the game after 5 innings due to cramping in his right leg, but no big deal there. It was a tense moment as Hinch was out there with a trainer He was removed, but nothing big, nothing to see here. Just some cramping in the right leg.
My guy got the win. Again, weird pitching rules on
Tyler
this.
Tyler Holton.
One inning, one hit, and that was it.
12 pitches, and you get the W.
Doesn't seem fair, but
no,
I
no.
don't. And then Chase Lee was good. Chase Lee again, struck out two, walked one, but didn't allow any damage run-wise. Our body shaver, Tommy Cannelly.
But my pick at this thing, Chase Lee goes 2/3 of an inning. He walks the first guy, strikes two straight guys out, gets a right-handed batter up there. Aranda came up, I believe it was. Or was it Caminero? I can't remember now. But you've got a sidearm righty against righty batter. I'm sitting there saying this should be the matchup where Chase Lee
exactly
stays in and finishes that inning. Why does Canley come in to finish that inning up after Lee just struck two straight guys out and all's well? And instead, he brings Canley in. Now, Canley got out of it, did the job, all's well for that inning, but then Canley now has to go the whole rest of the next inning. So you've got Tommy Canley out there doing 1.1 innings of work, and we're already taxed at this point with the bullpen. We used six different pitchers today. So I don't know. It's one of those things I'm picking because it worked, so I could say nothing. But when it happened, I'm like, why is he doing this? Why not leave Lee in there? Matchups. He loves the matchups.
I don't know about you, but I started getting a really bad, you know, you get that sinking feeling in your gut.
The other thing about Canley is the changeup. How is he not predictable? He throws 95% changeups.
I think
Benetti called him the changeup today. He goes, yeah, the changeup is running in. I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
The only thing I can think of is that it just must be so filthy.
It's got to be.
Because nobody sees it all that well. Today, it wasn't, you know, his greatest outing. He only had the one hit, but he got out of it. And then Herder came in and was lost.
No outs, two hits, two runs, two walks. Blech.
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 He needs just to simmer down and cool down for a little bit.
He may need a day off.
That's what he needs.
Maybe I need to give him a few days off.
And then same thing with Hanafy, even though he only allowed a hit and got out of it. But the most impressive thing today was that the Tigers didn't get themselves in an early hole and they didn't walk a ton of Rays. And overall, the bats were better today. Keith had another rough day at the office. He was 0-for-3, struck out twice, batting leadoff. He saw some pitches, but it wasn't great.
He batted leadoff the whole series, and I don't know that that's his spot.
No.
I buy what you're selling there. I do wonder, would Zach McKinstry be a good leadoff hitter? He's got speed, seems to put together a decent plate appearance.
He was brought in today to pitch.
He filled in the last, at the end of the game, and
I shouldn't say it wasn't a pinch hit. He moved from left to third, and then Sweeney was brought into.
Carp 0-for-2 with a sub from Jermai Jones today.
Who also promptly went 0-for-2, but did walk once. At least he walked. So Torres got a hit, 1-for-4. Riley Green had another exceptional day. Three for four, two runs.
Two doubles.
He is friggin' awesome.
Two doubles for him. I mean, he just goes out there and plays. And he made a great catch in the late innings.
Yeah.
Sliding. I mean, I can't tell if it's just because he isn't the fastest guy in the facer. He covered a lot of ground, and it looked like he was really laboring to get there. It was kind of a pop fly on the left field line. And he got it. It was a sliding grab, and he got it. And then the next inning, he had to actually run the bases because Torque blooped one into right, and he had to get on his horse from second base to score. So he didn't look, you know, he wasn't like Chet running, like Kerry Carpenter running, but he was definitely laboring around the base path a little bit there.
And Torque had himself a day today, or excuse me, 1-for-4, but two runs.
Yeah.
Walked once.
Walking a double.
Yeah, I'll take that from Torque all
day
long.
That's a great Torque line right there. 1-for-4, the walk is perfectly fine for me.
So when I talk about six big leaguers in the lineup, what I mean by that is I'm counting Baez and Torres wherever they're playing, but let's just say shortstop second. I agree that Torque is a big league first baseman. I think the only knock on Torque for his entire career is going to be where the Tigers drafted him.
Probably.
If he was, if he were a later first round pick, I think we could all live with
this
it.
Like a second or third rounder. People would be like, this guy's great.
No, he's a steal. But so, you know, we're looking at the right side of the infield, first through short, or, you know, the middle.
Yeah.
We've got real big leaguers there. We can agree Dylan Dingler is a real big leaguer, and we know Riley Green is. The question is, if we can get Meadows hitting, then
and he's creeping up there now. He's at 172 now after today, 607 OPS. He's going to keep chipping away and climbing back.
So this is my question to you. Can we platoon right field and third base to get to the playoffs? Like, can we band-aid it?
To the playoffs, possibly.
Can we band-aid it? Or do you think, like I think, that they're going to need a third baseman or a real right fielder? Not Wenzel Perez, not Trey Sweeney. I know Trey Sweeney is a shortstop, but that means the problem with Trey Sweeney is if he plays short, that means Javi has to play somewhere else.
Yeah.
And Javi's still the best shortstop on this roster, period.
Yep. I'd rather see Javi at short. He can play outfield as far as I'm concerned. It's just now we have outfielders we want out there. I mean, we've got Meadows back, and ideally you'd want Meadows and Carp playing at the top of their game, playing in the outfield. Okay. So now Baez, we don't really need him there anymore. So he'll play short. Sweeney's probably trade bait in my book, maybe, if somebody wants somebody who's quote unquote major league ready. I'll say this over, I don't think this stuff plays. I think they've been very fortunate, and a lot of people are starting to ask the question, have the Tigers been playing above their level of talent? There's been this big question. Have they been out, you know, have they been out punching? And I look, and they're 48-30. Okay. In their last 50 games, they're 33-17. In their last 30 games, they're 18-12. Still nothing to scoff at, a good record, but their last 30 games at 18-12, I would be willing to bet you we're going to see more of that for the remainder of the season, unless we make some big changes. And 18-12 can become 12-18 real fast. So I'm just going to say this. To feel better, they need to go out and get a horse with a bat. They need to go out and get pitching. And if they put all that together and they make an honest attempt at getting something other than a number five starter and something better than a, you know, Eugenio Suarez bat, I'll be happy.
Whoa. Cause he's one of my names.
Is he one of your names? Is he one of your guys for the trade deadline primer? Guys, we're going to do a trade deadline primer, by the way. We're going to give you an episode or two on the trade deadline before it hits. Bill is out doing some research. I'm out doing a little of my own research. We're going to give you that. And even before that, we're going to go down on the farm and take a look at the farm system, too, so we can kind of prep you for these are the guys you might see gone in a couple of weeks. And these are the guys you'll never see him let go of. But at any rate, Suarez is one of your guys?
I just think that if the D-backs fall completely out of it, he's someone that is expendable for them that we might be able to get without giving
up. Well, he's already been tied to us. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the guys that's out there that's a third baseman.
And I don't think we'd have to give up prime assets.
Yeah, I hope not.
Well, he's not worth it if not.
I just feel like we have him. Like McKinstry is basically Suarez, right? At the end of the day, Colt Keith might be Suarez with little. Oh, come on.
He's been a better big leaguer. He is those
he's
guys.
He's been a better big leaguer. He's been a big for leaguer longer. For longer.
In a okay. better, he's been a better big leaguer he's for his longer. Moments. His ceiling is, we're a big ceiling floor podcast. Everybody knows that. Their ceiling, those two players that you just mentioned that are Tigers, Z-Mac and Keith, their ceiling is what he's done for the last seven seasons is okay. My only point. And I'm big.
As long as we don't have to give anything big up for it, I don't think we will. I don't care. Whoever you get somebody, right?
Yeah. So can I just, as we wrap up here, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the division and why the Tigers are slumping now is actually a good time for what we're considering a slump, right?
Yeah, I agree with this. I love this.
Lost the Red Series, then they got out of the Pirates series.
Yep.
Wasn't, you know, it didn't feel good.
Wasn't
though.
Pretty,
the
way, yeah.
And then they got really roughed up the first two games in this. So they're 5-5 over their last 10. They still have a +82 run differential, which I think needs to be talked about. They have the lowly Athletics, who I can't name a city because they're just the Athletics until they move from Sacramento to Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because I'll tease this in a minute, but I want to talk about the division. They're still 9 games ahead of the Guardians. The Guardians have won once, but they're 4-6 their last 10. They're 10 games ahead of the Royals, who are also 4-6, lost one. Then this is one for another pod. I'm going to let you think about it because this isn't a quick answer. But if I were a Minnesota Twins fan, and maybe we can get some of your neighbors on that are, I would be, no team infuriates me more than the Twins. How this team won 12 or 13 straight, and then they're 2-8 their last 10, lost two, and they look lost. Like, the team has no identity. There's no predictability with it. And so I know I was really fearful of them like a month ago, 3 weeks ago even. I'm starting to think that we can write them off at 10.5 games back, because the teams that win 12 straight.
Knock on wood. Somebody knock on wood, please, for Bill after saying that. Thank you.
The teams that win 12 straight are usually good playoff teams.
You and
this team,
so.
This team does not look like a playoff team, let alone a good playoff team. So really quick, the Athletics are a mess. They're 13 games out of it. They're 32-47, 6-4 over their last 10. They've lost one. Here's the key, though, is their run differential is abysmal. -124, and they are absolutely horrendous away. Well, they're actually worse at home because they're playing in a minor league park, but they're not good away and they're really bad in the Eastern time zone. That being said, I think this is a get right trip for the Tigers.
Okay.
I think they win 2 out of 3 minimum. That's the floor. I think, you know, a sweep, which is so difficult to do, but I think it's there. You know, tomorrow's a day off, get some rest. If we can just get a good start Tuesday, meaning a quality start where the bullpen isn't being used 6 times, I think that'll go a long way to what the outcome of the series is. And I've got good news for you, Litterbox listeners. Guess who's taking the bump Tuesday night? The stopper, Tarek Skubal. So, and he's going up against Luis Severino, whose best days may have already occurred a lifetime ago.
Luis Sev's having a little bit of a struggle this season. One thing I will say about having a slump right now, you're having the slump at the perfect time, late June. If this truly is a slump that we're in right now, you are fading at the right time. You're having your dip at the right time because you're going to get the All-Star break to kind of break things up. You're going to start fresh after that. You're going to be looking at the trade deadline. Now, if this thing keeps going like this and we play 500 ball until the trade deadline or something along those lines, I'm going to get a little bit more worried. If we don't keep beating the teams we should beat, because we're going to play a few bad teams between now and the trade deadline. If we don't keep beating the teams we beat and things look ugly, we should beat and things look ugly, I might start to get a little more negative. My tone may change a touch. As long as we keep beating those teams that we should be beating, I'm good. And well, A's are one of those.
Do you want to hear the good news?
Yeah.
Oh, the A's are the next 3. We talked about that. Then the Twins come to town for 3.
Sure.
Another Monday off, and then to the Nationals, who are below 500, then the Guardians in Cleveland, then the Rays, then the Mariners. The Rays and Mariners are both at home, then the All-Star game. We will know everything we need to know about this team for 9 games, starting July 4th in Cleveland to July 13th, the last game before the All-Star break, Seattle at home. Seattle, Tampa, Cleveland are all quality opponents. And like I said, we don't know what to get with the Twins. We'll know more after this weekend.
Well, we will. Yeah. This weekend's a big one. I have a feeling that series is going to tell us a little something.
But the Nationals should be in selling mode. And I think it's that 9 game. If they flounder in that, Chet, let's say they go 1-8, 2-7 in that 9 game stretch.
Am I allowed to worry then?
Hell yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens from here to the All-Star break with those series. I only see 2 series there where I'm going to be like, we better win both of those series. The rest of them are going to be a fight.
And by the way, the Mariners have been in town this weekend at the friendly confines, and they've given the Cubs everything they can handle.
Yep. Cal Raleigh's killing it.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of didn't really do him justice earlier in the season because he wasn't
the guy to give justice to earlier in the season.
He wasn't a thing, but we talk about like the top 10 players in the game. He's got to be your catcher.
He's one of those guys that's just having a season, right? Like some of these guys come out and just have a season. Pete Crow Armstrong having a season. Cal Raleigh having a season. I mean, Cal Raleigh, he's been a respectable catcher for as long as he's been in the game, for the couple of years he's been in the game. But like this year, now he's all of a sudden getting these numbers that haven't been seen since Johnny Bench.
is eclipse that.
Ivan Rodriguez.
I mean, he's walking in rare air. We'll save him for. So I don't have any more thoughts. Monday's an off day tomorrow. And then we've got the Athletic Series pod listeners. We will be back with you, or I should say litter box listeners, Thursday night. That's a day game. So Chet and I will definitely be able to squeeze in a pod to recap that. Hopefully the mood's a little more positive. Hopefully Billy P doesn't have to get on a soapbox, or Chet doesn't. But there is reason for concern. We've outlined it very succinctly, I think, and I'm hopeful that either reinforcements come from within the organization in terms of healthy bodies, looking at you, Matt Vierling, looking at you, Alex Cobb, looking at you, Reese Olson, or the alternative is Scott Harris, pick up the phone and start dealing assets, because this team's on pace to win 100 games, and that doesn't happen that often.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.